Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. Just by way of announcement, I am Father McDonald's brother, Father Stephen McDonald. I am from Armada, Michigan. Certainly, it's a great pleasure for me to be here visiting Denver today. The epistle for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you, and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insofar as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." And these are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, today we enter the last Sunday of the liturgical year. We begin the last week of the liturgical year. And so it is a time for us to reflect, a time for us to look ahead, a time to reflect on this past year, which was meant to be a year of grace, a year in which God from all eternity has designed for us to grow in holiness, for us to grow closer to God, for us to, in a sense, come one step closer to the kingdom of God. It is also a chance for us to look ahead to the beginning of a new liturgical year in which that same offer will be made to each one of us to grow in holiness, to grow closer to Christ, and to be found, in a sense, more perfectly prepared for the second coming of Christ, in which we are presented in today's gospel with a stunning vision of the last days, the last judgment, the coming of Christ. The church has been preparing us for this moment throughout these past few weeks, giving us the various parables of the kingdom of God, teaching us that, yes, the kingdom of God represents the church to which all of us are called to, The kingdom of God also represents eternal life in heaven, our final goal, our final end. But the kingdom of God also refers to our own hearts, in which each one of us, as a true follower of Christ, sets up Christ as the king of our hearts, as the king and center of our hearts, as we say in the Litany to the Sacred Heart. And so, in a sense, we have been prepared for this throughout these past few weeks, leading up to this very moment, this moment in which we are to stop and reflect. What was this year like for us? Was this a year of grace? Do I find myself closer to God now at the end of this liturgical year than I found myself at the very beginning? And where am I headed? Where am I headed for the next liturgical year? Is this something that I do take seriously? Or do I allow these moments of grace, these years of grace, to pass me by year after year after year? Where do I stand in the kingdom of God? As I said, today's gospel presents in very many ways a frightening scene of what will take place on the end at the end times, the last day, in which the Son of Man will return in the clouds in order to judge all men according to their worth, to reward the good who have joined themselves to him, and to punish the bad, the evil, who have turned their back on him time and time again. It is a moment for us to reflect, which side will we be on? Where do we belong in the kingdom of God? For the early Christians, they used to look forward to this moment. The thought of our Lord Jesus Christ returning again, the second coming of Christ, was something that inspired them with great joy, with great longing. The thought that our Lord would come and reestablish his kingdom would bring all of the souls to his eternal kingdom in heaven, inspired a great longing in the minds of the early Christians. It is why St. John the Evangelist ends his apocalypse by asking our Lord to come again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That was the sentiment of the early Christians. And in fact, St. Paul would often have to write, he wrote specifically to the Thessalonians of his day, to not forget that until our Lord came, they still had to live a life, they still had to work, they still had to marry, they still had to provide for their families. That yes, we must look forward to the coming of Christ, but let's not overdo it. Let's simply wait it out. As our Lord himself says, you know not the time nor the hour. But the sentiment was one of, well, let us be prepared. Whenever God comes, whenever our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, let each one of us be found prepared, so that we may gain that eternal crown. In the Middle Ages, of course, the faithful began to add a healthy fear, a healthy distrust of themselves, because they were sinners, and because they would have to face the judgment seat of God. There was a healthy distrust of ourselves, of our sinful ways, of our sinful inclinations. And so in a sense, the mind of a Christian, when facing the judgment seat of God, the mind of a follower of Christ, when looking forward to the second coming of Christ, must be one of both great joy and longing and a healthy fear and distrust of self. Knowing that we are sinners, knowing what we are capable of, we must seek the mercy of God. We must prepare ourselves through a life of virtue, a life of prayer, a life of sacrifice, a life of penance. And we must stay close to the sacraments, the chief means of sanctification. In a nutshell, what the life of a Christian must mean as we prepare for the second coming of Christ is a complete orientation toward our Lord Jesus Christ, a complete orientation to the teachings of the church, so that a real follower of Christ who looks forward to the second coming of Christ must make sure that they are living a Catholic life in every aspect of their life. And now we fast forward to modern man. And what is modern man's sentiments regarding death, regarding judgment, regarding heaven and hell? You have one of two responses. Either we will try to con ourselves that we are certainly going to heaven, that all men are saved, and therefore we do not have to focus upon our sins. We do not have to do penance. We simply make an act of faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is enough. And of course, that is certainly not enough. As St. James says in his epistle, faith without works is dead. If we do not have the actions, the works that prove our faith, that prove our love for God, it is an empty faith. Or modern man will take the opposite approach and simply not even think about these things. Modern man tries to deaden his whole thought process regarding death and judgment and the second coming. And so he will cast himself, he will throw himself headlong into all of the distractions that he can find. And so apathetic modern man finds his consolation in television and the movies and pop music and video games and virtual reality, anything to take himself away from what is really proper, anything that will take himself away from the consideration of what is really important, and that is preparing for the second coming of Christ. That is preparing for our own judgment. But you see, modern man does not want to think about it because it scares him. He doesn't have that trust. He doesn't have that joy in the service of our Lord. And so the thought of dying, the thought of meeting his maker scares him. And so he simply chooses not to think about it. And thus we live in an age of absolute apathy. Men and women who don't care about important things. You see it wherever you go. Go to the checkout stand in the supermarket, and all of the trashy nonsense magazines which are focusing on the personal lives of movie stars and rock stars. You go to the airports, and what are people reading? Trashy novels. Anything to divert their attention from what is really important, which is the preparation for the coming of Christ into our souls, establishing the kingdom of Christ within our souls. And the Holy Mother Church, in presenting this gospel on the last Sunday of the liturgical year, which, by the way, is the exact same gospel that we will see again next Sunday, the first Sunday of the liturgical year. Because in the mind of God, everything is an eternal present. For God, there is no past, there is no future, there is just a present. And so he sees you at the end of your life exactly as he saw you at the beginning of your life, exactly as he sees you now. Your entire life is an open book before God. And Holy Mother Church, knowing this presents these two gospels on these two bookend Sundays to remind us that God knows what we are about. God reads our minds. He reads our hearts. And he knows whether we have this orientation toward him or whether, like apathetic modern man, we try to forget him with every opportunity. We try to forget our judgment. We try to forget the need to serve him. Our Lord speaks of in today's gospel the abomination of desolation. And again, he saw this in both a past, a present, and a future. He was referring to a past event, at least past for us, which would be the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in the year 70 AD. He sees it also as the end times, the abomination of desolation, which each one of us is living through this crisis in the church, in which so much blasphemy, so much dishonor is given to God, sometimes by the very churchmen who are meant to be serving him. But the abomination of desolation also refers to each individual soul. When a soul allows the spirit of the world to creep into its very being, when a soul allows some other love, the love of a creature, the love of a person, the love of something, to take a certain precedence over the love of Christ in their soul, it is the abomination of desolation lived all over again. Each one of us must understand that for a follower of Christ to be absorbed with the spirit of the world, for a follower of Christ to have some preference other than Christ, for a follower of Christ to allow sin to reign in their souls, in their hearts, when our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom are meant to reign there, that is an abomination. And each one of us, as we consider where we stand on this last Sunday of the liturgical year, must take to heart and must meditate upon the fact, have we allowed this abomination of desolation to creep into our souls? Have we put anything above Christ? Have we put anything above the love of God? Have we put anything above the love of Christ's church? Are we truly living integrally Catholic lives in every aspect? Not just on Sunday when we come to Mass, not just in our prayer life or our spiritual life, but in our workplace, in our family life, in our recreations. Are we living as true Catholics? Are we living in preparation for the second coming of Christ? A life of grace, a life of union with God. Or are we merely content, as most modern men are, with turning off the inspirations of God and losing ourselves in a world of virtual reality where we forget about the things of God and we forget about our duties to Him? As I said, my dear faithful, this is a time to reflect and a time to look ahead. Has this been a year of grace? Have I grown closer to God? Have I missed out on opportunities, on actual graces that God has sent me throughout this year to grow closer to Him? And will I continue to do so in this upcoming year? Advent, in a sense, is about longing for God. And as we prepare for the season of Advent, as we prepare to begin a new liturgical year, let that be your sentiment, that you long for the things of God. Then, in a sense, you long for Christ to come again, firstly in your own souls, but even then at the end of the world. The judgment, the destruction of the world, the beginning of eternity is not something to fear. It is something to look forward to. It is something to long for. Let each one of us then, during Advent, die to self so that we can live for God. It is a time of prayer, a time of penance, a time of grace, a time of virtue. Let each one of us prepare well for the coming of Christ. Let each one of us prepare well for the kingdom of God in our hearts, a kingdom which begins with a state of grace, a life of union with God, and a kingdom which will culminate with the eternal possession of God for all eternity in heaven, in which we will love God for all eternity, which we will rest in God for all eternity, and which we will possess God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.